This morning, and let's get to Psalm 23 this morning. I wanted to stop our normal series. We will regularly, Lord willing, by God's grace, next Sunday morning, we'll be back in Luke in the morning, and next Sunday evening, Pastor Caleb will be preaching. Tonight, I'm planning on, again, another kind of a standalone message on purpose, try to be an encouragement to specifically to our children, so it won't be necessarily a it'll be more of a Bible teaching. I hope it'll be a blessing and a little bit of fun and encouragement, but as well taking God's word and giving them truth that they can live by, find encouragement by, even in this moment when they feel like they'll be locked into a cage at home for a while. Psalm 23. Some of you, I suspect, have already heard at least a portion of this message before. I have used this on several occasions for funerals, so maybe you've been at one of the funerals that I've used it at, although it's obviously generally a little bit truncated there. I've used it in my own personal testimony in some different scenarios where folks have asked how the Lord helped and walked us through days when my first wife was dealing with cancer. But I felt like this was just really helpful for us right now, right here, to not forget who our Lord is and what he's doing for us, even in the time of trial and challenge. So I want, like we normally do, this is really a picture. It's kind of a parable in the Old Testament. So there is a fairly strong outline in the psalm, and we'll get to that. But let's walk through the passage, talk through what David is writing about the Lord, and then see how it connects and relates to even our own circumstances right here today. And I trust it'll be a blessing and encouragement, and it'll be maybe a point of which when we go to the Lord on a daily basis to remember that he's our shepherd, he's our host, and that'll be a blessing. Psalm 23, verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. In this verse, actually the emphasis in the Hebrew is on that personal pronoun, my. For the Old Testament time, God was often looked at as the nation's God. And it was, they saw themselves, the Jews saw themselves in a collective format, and they collectively were God's chosen people, receiving God's blessings, and they saw that as a national blessing. So for David here in this psalm, and we don't know the exact time of his life when he wrote it, but for David to point out that this is something very direct and personal is maybe a heightened or a unique concept that was not normally thought of in the Old Testament. As New Testament individuals, probably as Americans, and specifically because of our national founding, we look at the individual and cherish the individual, and obviously Christ died for all the whosoevers. So we understand that individual concept. This was a precious thought, though, for the Jew. And for David to say he is my shepherd emphasized that he understood that God loved him uniquely and individually, and that God was directing, as a shepherd would, his life personally and directly. It wasn't just through a group of people. He wasn't a part of a, can I put it in my own terms, part of a blob. He was individually watched over for and cared by God. What a wonderful promise. The Lord is my shepherd. So he knows all my needs. He's caring for me individually just as well as he's caring for every other individual. Aren't you glad that he's omniscient and omnipresent and all-powerful, omnipotent, that he's infinite, because his resources don't run out. It's like, oh no, so-and-so's got God today, so I don't get him. No, that's not the case at all. God is for each of us. He is my shepherd, and therefore I will not lack. Now, this could hit reality real fast in these couple of weeks, months. Shops shut down, loss of income. All of a sudden, day-to-day needs arise really quickly. Believer, know that as the Lord is your shepherd, he's promised you will not lack. You may not have what you're used to, but God will watch over you. Obey him. Follow him, do what's right, be creative. All of those gifts are gifts from God, but know that the Lord has promised he will not put you in want. You will not lack any good thing. So now David's going to explain in the next three verses in particular, what that not want and not lack really has a what it means, what it provides for us in our life. So in verse 2, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. This is speaking of rest. Obviously a shepherd, and we're not abundantly familiar with shepherding. We're used to herding in our country, and we deal with cattle, not generally with sheep. But I think you understand the picture. You've known Scripture well. The shepherd would take his sheep to places where they were protected and where there was much nourishment. So the idea of lying down would be to rest. They didn't have to wander for provision. That seems to hit right at home right now. How many of you have been chasing to store to find toilet paper, all right? God says, I will take care of you. You don't have to wander for provision. Again, I was encouraged. One of our church family showed up at our door and said, hey, I've got some toilet paper. You need some? I couldn't believe it. I was shocked. Yeah, we could use some. Of all things, we had started coming down to the end of our normal store of toilet paper, of all things, and it was about time for us to go, and then this all happened. It's like, oh, well. I joke, well, no, never mind. I won't go there. But, but what a wonderful way to provide for our needs. I don't have to wander for provision. God puts me in a green pasture where my needs are met. So he provides rest. That's a part of that not want. And then he leadeth me beside the still waters. A sheep is not naturally a sheep. We're not talking about mountain goats here or whatever, but a sheep is rather unstable on their feet, actually. They can be flipped over rather easily. And so a shepherd would have to take them to where water was still. Obviously, if they fell into the water and their thick wool was on them, they would almost immediately drown. And so God in his care for his people always take us to where our needs can be met and met well. He puts us in still waters to drink. What a blessing. And then he goes on. He, verse 3, restores my soul. The idea is, the word restore is the idea that he gives me enjoyment of life. There's much, even in this time, that we can enjoy and rejoice in. Let us not be crabby. He restores my soul. So you say, well, I don't feel like being happy. All right, turn to the Lord. Look to your shepherd. Look at his provision. Look at the peace he brings. Enjoy life. In the midst of challenges, still laugh. Still rejoice in God. He restores my soul, and he leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. So I shall not want. Christ being my shepherd, he gives rest. He gives restoration. There's this exterior needs being met, and then there's my interior heart being blessed and encouraged, that restoration. And then he leads me. He leads me, and I call this, the R is righteousness. He gives rest, restoration, and righteousness. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. You see, God's name binds him to his children, to his, in this illustration, to his sheep. You know, I've been around cattle. When I was a young boy, I was around a number of ranchers in Colorado, and you would allow your cattle to free range in the mountains through the summer, bring them down in the winter, and so they would brand their cattle. And I've heard some wonderful, amazing stories about, we even had a sheriff in our church in Colorado, and how he would know if a cattle was a cow was stolen or not. Amazing things that they can do, even with a brand. And here we find that Christ, or God, puts his name on all of us. We are his particular attention and delight. And what does he do in that scenario? He leads us in righteousness. You see, all of the circumstances in life that God provides, the trials along the way, the pathway that we must walk, is for us to learn to be righteous. This time in our season, in our country right now, in our own homes, look to see what God wants you to learn about being more like him, so that his name is exalted in your life, that your life is more righteous. It could be, at this moment in time, you have some extra time on your hand. Or dads, because the kids are all home, not in school. Well, you don't need to have a 5-minute family devotion. Why don't you turn it into a family discussion and grow them in the Lord Jesus Christ? Let the Lord in this moment lead you in righteousness. And in fact, we know that that is one of the greatest gifts that God can give us, that righteousness. Now, what is, if I can put it this way, on this pathway, as God is leading us, He's the shepherd, providing rest, green pastures, restoration to my soul. All right, so there's enjoyment in life. A righteousness as He walks me and grows me in his life. What happens, all right? What can we describe that as? Well, that's really verse 4. On the path, one always has, on this path of righteousness, one always has God's presence and God's comfort. So though we are split up today, I can't see you. I know you can see me. I'm sorry. We can't see, but guess what? God is with you, and He's right here too. Isn't that neat? So, verse 4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. That picture of the shadow of death, yes, it could be speaking of death itself, but it's also just a shadow. Our nation has come under the shadow of the death of COVID-19. It's a valley we're walking through. In fact, our world is. Yea, though I walk through this valley, what's the next words? I'll fear no evil. What an amazing God we have. As I walk with Him, follow my shepherd, on the path of righteousness, finding rest and restoration, in the circumstances of life that even can be described as the shadow of death, I don't have to fear any evil. There will be no bad that God doesn't watch over and care for us. Why? Why don't I have to fear evil? It could be that the storm will get worse. That sounds evil to me. Well, he goes on, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. The joy of knowing that God is right here. You may be, there are some of you I know today that are home totally alone. You're by yourself. But the scriptures tell us you're not. And you must believe that God is with you. He's right there. He knows your needs. He knows your concerns. He knows your wants. He knows what your soul needs. And He's with you. Thou art with me. Cherish that. Having young children in the home again, I get reminded about it on a fairly frequent basis. Putting the kids to bed at night. We just had thunderstorms the other night. What gives a child comfort? That mom and dad are near. And much more than any mom or dad can be near, God is with me. And David goes on to describe thy rod, which is a club used to beat off wild animals, and thy staff, which was used to provide direction and keep the sheep in line so they wouldn't get hurt. So God's protection and God's good guidance, they bring comfort. Do know that God will not let anything into your life, sheep, that is bad. That He will not say that I can make good come from this. He has that rod. And then He has that wonderful staff to keep us in line. Your mind starts to wander, you start to worry, you start to get concerned. What's going on? Flee to your shepherd. Let the truth of God's word be that staff to direct your thinking back to God and His goodness and righteousness. We have a great shepherd, don't we? So, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Now we come to verse 5, and we have a change in the illustration. He turns to a host. And so he says this in verse 5, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Now, in my mind, I run quickly to like our Christmas season. You know, grandma and grandpa want you all over to the house, and you have this big, huge pile of people, and she's the greatest hostess in the world. That's kind of the picture here. God becomes our host, and what does he do? Well, he prepares, and this table is what we call a king's table. It's a banquet. And he does that in the midst of our enemies. What's the picture? Well, obviously in battle there, here the king would stop and say, "Men, let's eat. We'll take care of the enemies in good time, and the enemies can't come here. We're strong. Come, sit down and eat. Rest. I'll watch over you." How much more so God, who is omnipotent, asks us when we're in the midst, in the presence of our enemies, that we sit down and rest in his wonderful care. Can we not say COVID-19 is an enemy? We naturally, God-given, desire to live, and that's part of being human. And so we see this terrible virus as something that is a risk to us. It's an enemy. Well, God is saying, "I've got a table for you. Come, sit down. Enjoy what I'm giving you. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemy. Thou anointest my head with oil." Yes, we'd seen back in the first illustration that he puts his name on us as his sheep. Now he honors us. This anointing was a perfumed oil that they would put on honored guests when they came to the banquet. You know the Patch the Pirate song, "I'm special to Jesus." Well, this is exactly where we draw this picture and illustration. Every one of us are uniquely special to the Lord. He will never forget you. And in fact, in the midst of even being surrounded by enemies, he will honor us and say, "I'm yours, I'm here, don't worry." And so then David exclaims at the end of verse 5, "My cup runneth over. My supply is abundant." God cares for all that we need. It may not be in ways that we expect or think, or in the abundance that we want. But because my God is my King, and because he's put this table before me, I know that my cup will run over. So, believer, dear church saint, today, stop and think, okay, where's my cup running over today? Where can I rejoice today? We just had a birthday party for Dory on Thursday. Church family, we were grateful we had a carry cake, and there's just a little bit left. And then Darcy, she's home, and she made, I know this is, there's a flavor over in the Philippines called ube. It's like a sweet potato, but the color is purple. It's really funny. But it, to me, it tastes ish-y, with a little bit of yam flavor. I know that probably sounds gross, but it's wonderful. Anyways, Darcy made ube ice cream. So it's purple ice cream with this purple carry cake. It's like I've been living for every meal to get to dessert, because the desserts are like, this is my cup running over. I think it might be gone today, and I'll have to find some other abundant running over cup. But stop, believer, and consider, what is God doing in your life to make your cup run over? So before we're all closed into the house, you know, I got some cake and ice cream, and I'm rejoicing in that cup running over. Now, how much more so when my soul needs rest or peace and encouragement, and I find it in God's word? How was your time with the Lord this morning? I've been reading through the book of Isaiah. And God is talking and challenging the nation of Israel. Let's see, this morning was chapter 27. And they've been rebelling against the Lord. And yet, even in this rebellion, as he's forewarning them, telling them judgment's coming, you've sinned and I'm done. And yet, he continues to remind them of the coming millennial kingdom, of restoration back to the land, that he will, when we follow him, always care for us. Find peace and contentment with the Lord. Find your cup running over. What's the end of it? This is the beautiful picture at the end. So as the Lord is my host, the Lord is my shepherd, what is then my testimony? Verse 6. Surely. This is the absolute truth, David said. Surely. Goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Except when COVID-19 happens. No, of course not. Surely God's amazing goodness and mercy. Remember, we've seen this word so many times. Probably if there's one key word to the Old Testament, here it is, the word mercy. We talk about it as loyal love. It's a powerful Hebrew term. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. And the idea is it's not just tagging along behind. It's not like my kids in the store. No, no, no. It's the idea is it's absolutely pursuing me. It wants to be my companion. It's always, remember married couples when you were falling in love and you always wanted to have her hand? That's the same idea. God's goodness and mercy is wanting to be my companion. It's pursuing me. And notice David doesn't make any exceptions. It's all the days of my life. Whether I'm walking through the valley of the shadow of death or enjoying God's green pasture, whether I'm in want and looking for a banquet or whether I'm having my cup run over, God's goodness and mercy pursues me all the days of my life. And so David then exclaims, so I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The idea is this in David's mind. Yes, there's this wonderful hope that I will forever be with the Lord. The struggles and trials of this world are all done. But the idea of that last phrase is that forever is already started. I'm already enjoying eternal life now. I'm in his house now. Believer, with God's help, because he's my shepherd and yours, because he's my host and yours, we will be able to exclaim 2 weeks from now, 2 months from now, 2 years from now, that God's goodness and mercy pursued me all the days of my life. Trust him. Love him and follow him. Let him lead you in the paths of righteousness. Enjoy dwelling in the house of the Lord forever. I trust this is an encouragement to your heart today. May we love our shepherd, follow him. May we rejoice in our wonderful King. May we know that his goodness and mercy will always be with us. Believer, trust him. If you're listening this morning and you don't know the Lord as your Savior, he's not yet your shepherd. Come to him. Let him be the host of your life. Turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. Repent of your sin. And enjoy the peace that we as believers are experiencing even in a time of trouble and trial. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be in your word this morning. I pray that this would be an encouragement to our dear church family in particular. We miss seeing them face to face. And yet we know you're our shepherd. Every one of us have all of you. That's amazing. Thank you, Father. And thank you that you're our host, that even in the midst of trials and challenges, you are making our cup run over. Lord, we may find that cup running over in different areas in our life as we go through these weeks and months. But give us grace and give us your eyes to see those blessings. Lord, may our testimony and may we be able to exclaim this to the world. Surely God's goodness and mercy is pursuing me every day of my life. I really am already experiencing some of the joys of eternity now. Yes, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So please help each of our folks today, all of us, to love you, to follow you. May we stay on your path of righteousness. Help us to grow in you through these days of challenge and trial. And may we find your abundant care overwhelming our hearts and causing us to rejoice in you. Thank you for this time together. In your name we pray. Amen.